This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com. Happy Monday to everybody out there. Hopefully, everybody had a great weekend, and the week is off to a good start. The weather was perfect yesterday, and today, not so much.
Yeah, it was just beautiful yesterday, and embarked on a project in my backyard that I didn't necessarily want to do. I actually stood there.
You want to do all projects.
I had a standoff with Shannon at the Home Depot.
Really?
It's like, no, come on. We don't want to do this. Guess what we did, Bob?
You planted some azaleas.
Yeah, we got this big tub, and she's trying to start these lettuce and spices and all these different things. We got one of these big tubs, and it was a pain in the ass. It really was.
That's until they all start blooming, and then you've got fresh tomatoes and lettuce and spices, and you're going to go, this was worth it.
I'm very skeptical that that's what we're going to get out of that. I think there's going to be some plants, but I don't think there's going to be anything growing up.
So. Well, we'll see. Time will tell.
Yeah. Other news, I actually got on Apple TV.
Friday?
Eventually. It always takes a while. Like, at first, you go on there, because I heard Bump and Stacey talking about it, and I'm like, no, I don't complain about, like, the extra, I think Stacey was using the word pony up. Somebody was complaining about, oh, I got to pony up another $10 or whatever. That's not my complaint. My complaint is that it always looks like, just like when I missed the playoff game, half of the playoff game when it was on Peacock, that we have it, but it acts like we don't, because it's asking me to sign up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but we have it. And so
did you you had to scan the code?
Yeah, that's never worked for me. Not one time.
It worked just fine for me this time.
Did it?
Yeah.
All right. Not one time for me. But eventually we got it, and I realized, yes, we do have Apple Plus. So
yeah
it was a good broadcast and everything. But and that was the one game you really wanted to watch.
Yeah, that was the one that turned out well.
Yeah.
As I was telling you, I think you and I were texting. I got on fine, no problems watching the game, but I'm so conditioned to when it goes to a commercial that I hit the guide or I hit the back button to the previous channel.
Sure.
And it takes me out of the app and back to Comcast. I'm like, damn it. And I got to sign back in. I'm so conditioned to channel surf the second the commercial starts, and that screws it up, obviously, when you're watching on an app.
Yeah.
Which, again, it does not make life easier. I like to channel surf. I like to just hit one button and boom, you're on a different channel or your previous channel, go to a different game, different event. But yeah, outside of that, getting signed up was fine, but I kept forgetting that part. So that was frustrating.
Now I don't know. Do we have anything for 245 still? Or should we have just flipped this? Will there be more things to complain about for you guys at 245?
What's bugging Bob?
Mike. Yeah. I'm an old man.
That's true.
I have lots to complain about.
Stay tuned then for 245.
Yeah. Plenty of complaints. And we know Matt's got some in the chamber there too. So
always.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
also an old man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's very young looking, but he's old. He's old. Coming up on the show, 3 o'clock, Ryan Roland Smith will join us to make sense of it all. Josh Edwards at 4 o'clock. He's a CBS Sports NFL draft analyst. As we are just creeping towards the draft, we will talk about that with him. And then John Sadak, who is the TV play-by-play man for the Cincinnati Reds, who are in town for a 3-game series. And hopefully the Mariners can find a way to win a series, Dave, because they're catching a Reds team that, they beat the White Sox, but they've won 3 in a row. They've scored more runs than any team in their division outside of the Brewers. They're behind them by 1 run. Things seem to be clicking for this Reds team. And they're certainly not clicking for the Mariners, who have now dropped to 6-10, lost 5 of 7. Are you panicked yet?
Well,
are you concerned? Yeah. Or where would you rate your concern? How about that?
It's starting to get concerning for me, just because it just seems like it's chronic. Mike, you had the stat that once they have been behind.
Oh, yeah. They haven't rallied at all.
They have not rallied.
If they've trailed after a single inning.
A single inning, not one single inning.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I'm just like, is this chronic? I mean, is it that big of a problem? You know, I think that there's some bad luck plays that are sort of thrown in there. Like, you know, we talked about Josh Rojas being in the guy who's coming home, you know, bounces off his helmet. Luis, I don't know, I kind of categorized it that way the other day when he had, I don't know how he was supposed to throw that. It got a little, you know, dribbler hit back to him. Yeah, and I mean, I guess he could have lobbed it over his head, but it just didn't seem like that there was a path. But I feel like when you're winning and everything's going right, you make those plays.
Yeah.
And right now, I don't know what's going on. I don't, you know, and I tried to imagine, you know, what was pretty awesome were the fans at the end of the game yesterday when they went and reviewed it and how everybody was screaming. It was almost like there was 50,000 people going, no! I loved that audio at that point. But, yeah, that's another play. I feel like that you get that call if, you know, things are going right. But things are not going right for this team.
No, and prior to that error by Castillo, it felt like, all right, the defense is starting to look better. Like, they've cleaned it up. Like, that part of it was better. Starting pitching has been giving you a chance. Bryce Miller was fantastic again.
Yeah.
He was fantastic. Emerson Hancock, he's not a lockdown guy. That's your fifth starter who should be in AAA, but Wu's hurt, so he's here. And he bounced back and gave you a chance to win. That's what you want out of your fifth starter. He goes 5+, gives up 3 runs, gives you a chance. Couldn't capitalize. Castillo, as much as he has not been the ace, he has not pitched like an ace, this was his best start of the season. 6 innings, 3 runs.
Quality start.
It's a quality start. I mean, we're lowering the standard for an ace, but he still gave you a chance to win.
Yeah.
Bottom line, he didn't crush you, even though it looked like it was going to get off to a really bad start with the error. Then he gives up the home run, as he is wont to do, but then kept it in check and ends up striking out a ton of guys and gives his team a chance. They, in these two games where the starting pitcher gave them more than an opportunity to win, they were 1-for-15 combined with runners in scoring position. They scored a combined 3 runs in 2 games. They had 14 left on base. They struck out 18 times in these two games. 10 times yesterday, 8 times the game before. I mean, the offense is a disaster right now. It just flat out is. There are two guys maybe that step up to the plate where you feel like, they're going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else, you're like, yeah, I don't. Everybody's under 200. You've got the majority. You got 7 guys in your lineup that are hitting under 200. It's just, and then, you know, for Julio to get picked off to end the game, you're like, yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly how this one should end. And Scott Servais after the game expressing that frustration.
You know, the whole day you're sitting there thinking we just need one big swing to get back in it. We got it with Polo hitting the home run. And then, you know, they gave us an opportunity to take the game in the series. We just didn't go grab it. So that's the frustrating thing about it. You know, we had guys on there, the double play balls, obviously the ball in the seventh that really hit, you know, did what he needed to do. He did hit the ball very hard. Just hit it right at him. And then in the eighth inning, had another chance, and we weren't able to take advantage there. So disappointed. I felt we should have won the series.
Yeah.
Well, this is a decent number of at-bats, 26. I mean, it's half of what everybody else is. But if you look at Rojas, I mean, he's got a 346. But, I mean, it's 26 at-bats.
Yeah.
But you know, you look at Ty, good. Haniger, good. But, you know, you drop right down to Dominic Canzone, who is at 219. And then that's pretty much everything falls out.
Yeah, everybody else is under 200.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just it really is beyond frustrating. And I trust me, I see it on Twitter, and I'm expressing frustration. I'm getting even more frustration back from the people that are responding to my tweets. So I totally get it. I totally get it. And everybody's sort of searching for answers right now. Some people feel like they've got very obvious answers. But Scott Servais was asked about the team and just how much they, in spring, they look like a different team. It is spring, and we pounded that into the ground like it's spring. Good or bad, you just kind of remove the numbers, and mm-hmm. you're just looking at guys. Do they look like their timing is there? Do they look like they're in shape? Do they look like that? You know, just kind of getting a vibe as opposed to looking at what their batting average is or what their ERA is. And Scott was asked about the team looking so much different than it did during spring.
You never know. You know, once the regular season starts, I mean, it's so different. You know, you put team together and leaving spring training and whatnot. And, you know, we had some question marks, you know, where we were at defensively. And we have here in the last, you know, 7, 8, 10 games, we played very well defensively, much better We have cleaned that up. I think the pitching-wise, we haven't walked a guy in the last two games. Can't ask for much more. And we're keeping things under control there to give our offense a chance to get going. Just hasn't got going yet.
It has not. And then, you know, the way the game ended was just, I mean, it seemed very apropos. You're frustrated. The offense can't do anything. Polanco hits the home run, which was awesome to see. That's a guy you're counting on that you brought in to do some damage. Great to see him do that, pull you within one run. And then here comes Julio, who was given the day off to clear his head and give him a break because he's been scuffling badly at the plate, and he gets picked off.
Mm-hmm. And the pitch on the way. No, a toss over to first base, and safe at first is Julio Rodriguez. Holy smokes, that was close. Close. Julio was leaning towards second. He's able to dive back to the far corner of the bag. The throw looked like had him beat, but the late tag.
Oh, my goodness. Where is he going? Come on.
No. Review. The call on the field is overturned. The runner is out.
Oh, no. What a disappointing, heartbreaking loss for the Mariners this afternoon. The call is overturned. Instead of being safe, Julio Rodriguez out. Picked off by Alzolay, and that's how this game ends.
Mike, I don't know what the show sheet is on Wednesday, the What If Wednesday, but what if he hadn't? What if he'd been safe? Think they win the game? And how do we feel? How do we feel? We're okay. We're like, yeah.
Yeah, no, right. I don't. I mean, if I'm being honest, do I think they win the game even if he doesn't get picked off? No.
No,
they just couldn't capitalize on any opportunity. Ty France is hitting into double plays, and they were so unclutch as they have been in this whole season, but in particular with moments. And they did have some hard hit balls, and third baseman in the previous game made some great plays. So you got to tip your cap to those moments. But, man, the other moments where they're just the at-bats are poor in situations where you just got to get a fly ball. Just come up with a fly ball and somebody's pounding it into the ground, rolling over on it, easy double plays. It's just beyond frustrating. But Service talked about the opportunities they didn't capitalize on even before that pickoff.
Yeah, you know, everybody's going to get fired up. That's not the play that cost us the game. We had opportunities certainly there in the seventh and the eighth. You know, Julio's our fastest runner, certainly going to put him in the game. Guy made a good move and obviously picked him off. So, it happens, but that's for me. That's not the play that cost us the game.
So I guess I'm curious to hear from fans. As I said, there are many on social media that feel like they've got the answer.
And you're kidding?
Yeah, it's weird. There's a lot of certainty behind a lot of the ideas there. But what is it Scott Service could do that he hasn't done to this point? Realistically, what is it he could do? Is it shuffle the lineup? Do you take Julio out of the two spot, take JP out of that leadoff spot, bump him down, you throw somebody else up there? I was hoping that, you know, as far as Canzone goes, he's going to be on the 10-day DL. They're going to bring up Jonathan Classe, and it is Jonathan. Mm-hmm. There's no H there. But I kind of thought they would call up Samad Taylor. I was hoping they would call him up. He's got experience. We saw him in spring training. He looked great. He was here for a hot minute when Ty was on the paternity list or mm-hmm. paternity leave, and he's the fastest guy on this team. He's the quickest. I don't know, long, 100-yard dash, maybe Julio beats him, but home to first to second, he's the fastest guy they had out there.
Didn't he lay down a nice bunt in one of the series?
Yeah.
I think it was in Toronto.
Yeah. He's just a guy that I felt like, all right, if Canzone's going down, if he's going on the IL, to me, he would have been the perfect spark. Like, at least give him the opportunity to be that. Maybe he doesn't become that, but at least let's see. Let's see, because he brings something that you don't have on this team, and that's that really intense speed out of the box, and he could just be a pest on the base paths, and if he can just find a way to get on base on a fairly regular basis, maybe you give JP a break, bump him down in the lineup, let Taylor come up, lead off, but they elected to go with Class A, who's officially been called up with Canzone going on the 10-day DL with the left AC joint sprain. But what, back to the original question, what is it realistically you think Service should do that you don't feel he's done to this point?
Not really anything. And I think here's the biggest struggle. I guess I would say maybe move the lineup around. Let's
he's done outside of the top.
Yeah. But I mean, maybe do something, I don't know, drastic or not drastic, but that's sort of out of the box. But I think this is the toughest thing that he does. And that's especially when you get off to a start like this, or if you're going through a really bad streak, is like, do I stick with the plan and just persevere and we'll get it done? I want to believe in it and we'll just keep going. Or do we just ditch it? And I would think that the first option would be more of what most managers in Major League Baseball do, that they stick with their plan and you don't just desert it and go crazy and start, you know, putting guys in different spots and things like that. But I think that's probably the hardest thing for him, because I just wonder for Scott, and I don't know if he's ever answered this question, but when is it early? Like, at what point does it get, you know, is you're 6-10? Is it, you know, May? Is it at the end of May when you start making, is it in end of April? What's, you know, when do you all of a sudden go, okay, I got to rethink this entire thing? It's not what I thought it was coming out of spring training.
It's got to be fairly soon, I would think. I mean, you don't want to get buried as far as the standings go. As much as it's early, you look at it, you're a half a game ahead of the Astros, who are in last place, but they've won two in a row, and you just, I'm kind of conditioned just to expect, sort of like the Patriots every year, like, all right, this is a year they go down, and they invariably find their way. The Astros are that team to me until they prove otherwise. Maybe this is a down year and they're going to be a bad team this year, but I kind of feel like they're going to become the Astros again at some point. So the Mariners are currently just a half game ahead of them in being out of last place. So, yeah, you're only two games back of the leader of the Rangers, but you've got the Angels and the A's ahead of you. The Astros have won a couple in a row. You don't want to be sitting there in the cellar, and then you fast forward a couple of weeks, and now you're four and a half, 5 games out. And then you start getting into that mode of catching up and digging that hole just a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper. That's what I want to avoid. And, you know, if they have a marker, I don't know if Scott and his staff have a, all right, if we get 5 games back, or we're, you know, this kind of record after another month, then we have to make – I don't know what their timetables are for making moves, but – they got to figure something out. They got to figure something out before it becomes the obvious thing. Is you got to shake up the coaching staff. You got to, somebody's not, whether it's the hitting coach, whether it's the offensive coordinator. I mean, there are already people that are, service is terrible, get them out of here. And I'm like, what is he supposed to do with this group that is just not functioning well, that he hasn't done? I mean, he can't hit, pitch, or field for them. These players have to take on some of the blame. They've got to produce. They've got to figure out whatever it is that's going on. And I don't know if that's more time in the cage, more time with the iPad, breaking down their mechanics, going to Driveline on the weekend, on the day off in town. I have no idea. But they got to figure it out, because what's happening out there is unacceptable.
Yeah, and it's really only two guys that are hitting right now, and it's Ty and it's Mitch. But you got Canzone, and that's, and I'm hoping his will just be a 10-day as far as his AC joint. I was telling you before the show, I had both of mine removed. They're like totally unnecessary joints. Now, hopefully they're not doing that, because that means surgery. But, you know, hopefully that gets healed up. But he's your home run leader. But, man, you start looking at their offense and the categories based on, compared to Major League Baseball, not good. And we talked about this, you know, and it's on the same track pretty much. It's anywhere between 25th or 30th as far as on base.
Every measurable category for offense, they are at the bottom, except for, I believe, walks. They're like 15th or something, 16th, 15th. Literally, that's their bet. You want to go slug, you want to go runs, hits, total bases, OPS, whatever number you want to look at, this team offensively is 25th to 30th in every one of those categories. It's been dreadful. They got to find a way to get it figured out. What that is, I don't think it's as easy as some make it sound. Like, oh, just fire this guy. And then everybody's going to all of a sudden start mashing the ball. Is Scott an impediment to the way they're hitting? Because some of these guys, their career numbers tell you a different story about who they are as players, and they're not living up to it. So this has got to fall, as much as you want to point at coaches and things, and maybe that is part of it. I'm not saying it's not. These players need to take some responsibility. They are the ones that need to stand up and figure things out, whatever it takes to get to that point. So
yeah, I'm always that way when it comes to coaches versus players. It's the players.
Yeah. Ultimately, they're the ones on them. that are not executing. I mean, this isn't really game plan stuff like football, where, all right, the scheme is screwed up, and why are we in a cover two when it should be this, and blah, blah, blah. This is baseball, man. This is, you know, you see the ball, you hit the ball, you throw the ball, Dave.
You catch the ball.
You catch the ball. All right, let's take two.
We mentioned Class A being called up. He's in the starting lineup tonight. Mariners just released that. He's batting eighth and in left field. And then no changes in those top two spots. J.P. Crawford batting first. Julio hitting second.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be curious to see what Class A does. I mean, he looked good in spring, and I know he's been mashing at AAA, so maybe he's ready. Maybe he's the guy to provide a spark that they're looking for right now. I don't know. At least it gives you something that you're curious about on this team. Like, all right, what is this guy about? Because everybody else you're either frustrated with or you've got no confidence when they step up to the plate. So he's the unknown. He gives you a little bit of a lift. Like, all right, I'm excited to see what he might be able to do.
Yeah, and maybe he kind of catches fire and, you know, does a couple of things that are a spark for this offense. But the other thing is when you bring a guy up like that, or you change the lineup, how much do you credit to that, or is it just that the players just start playing better? I mean, and that's where I was talking about the conundrum, I think, for Scott is, do I stick with what I have always believed and what we went into spring training thinking, or is it, you know, is it too early to pull the plug on those things at 6-10? You know, do we go and do something entirely drastic? But right now, you're just looking for anything that will spark this team.
Yeah, give me something to cling to here. Because they were 6-10 is bad. They were 8-8 at this point last season. So you're two games worse than you were at this point last season. Is the roster worse than last year? I still refuse to believe this is a worse roster than the one that had Pollock, LaStella, Hummel, Teoscar. Again, none of those guys were even on the team at the end of the year except for Teoscar. I still believe this is a better roster than that, but they are just wildly underperforming.
So the Eagles have gotten ahead of the expected surge in wide receiver contracts because Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb are both entering the final year of their rookie contracts. They're not at OTAs right now, so the Eagles have already extended Devontae Smith. They picked up his fifth-year option, and they gave him a three-year, $75 million extension.
I'm trying to think. That's pretty close to what DK has, right? I think DK has like a 24.
It was, let's see, I think 3 years, what, 72?
Yeah, I think it was 24 million a year.
Yeah, 3 years, 72 million, 58.2 guaranteed for DK.
Yeah, no surprise with Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb not being at OTAs right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's no big surprise. But yeah, for Devontae Smith, I don't know. I thought that they got DK, just comparing what we have, for kind of a bargain at $24 million a year. And I think I was right. A couple years later, Devontae Smith getting $75 million for 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to be a receiver, though. I bet all the running backs are going, damn it, should have been a receiver.
I still can't get over that. The edge rusher for the Jaguars, is it Josh? It's not Josh Allen. What's his name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is. Oh, it is. Okay. Anyway, $30 million a year. $30 million for 5 years for an edge rusher. Unbelievable.
Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberknifeProstate. Coming up, the Seahawks have started to address one position of need, but how much will it affect their draft strategy? We'll get into that next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Coming up at 3 o'clock today here with Wyman and Bob, our guy Ryan Roland Smith will make sense of it all for us. He's going to talk everybody off the ledge and tell us why everything's going to be just fine with this Mariner team. Or maybe he'll just go, what? Check out my podcast.
Podcast.
And then he'll crack himself up.
He texted me afterwards because I asked him, it was a stupid question. I was just going to try to catch him off guard. Who would win in a fight between you and Bill Kruger?
Yeah.
I said, Kruger's got the old man strength and he looks angry. And he said, so he texted me later. He's like, man, I don't know. He's a tough looking dude. I'm not sure I could take him or not. Something like that.
You could. Yeah, you could.
Yeah,
I think
you probably could.
I think he's gonna be
that
just
whole
fine
age thing might get to you. Although I would say this, that Brock said something about headbutting me in that little promo there for their show. He said, you didn't hear that?
No.
He said if they took Penix, he goes, yeah, I'd probably headbutt Wyman.
Is that a form of celebration for him?
Apparently.
Is that what his people do?
I got a pretty hard head. I think Brock might lose it. He's got that big old nugget though.
He does.
He's got the big the size advantage.
Would it send his eyes further outside, or what would happen?
What would happen?
They'd be spinning around like a slot machine.
That seems a weird way to celebrate. I would headbutt Wyman.
So it's his birthday today. I bet he's feeling a little
confident, right?
You know, feeling right? Himself.
How old is Brock?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Brock's got to be... Right?
Is he like 46, 47?
Mid-40s.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
Yeah, he's starting to lose his fastball.
Happy birthday, Brock.
Go headbutt him and see if the rings, like you measure trees to see how old they are. See if the rings pop out on his forehead.
See if he recovers like a young man. But happy birthday to Brock if it is his birthday today. Okay. Happy birthday, yeah. Brock.
There you go, Brock.
Meanwhile, the Seahawks, which we will be out there, by the way, speaking of Brock, he'll be out there with us for the NFL draft out at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. We will have wall-to-wall coverage of the draft. It'll be me, you, Brock. I think Bump will be there. Moyer will be there.
Yeah.
So it'll just be me teeing up all the experts. All you guys are going to bring in the expert analysis of everything that's going on. It's going to be fun. I always have fun out there. During draft time.
Do you think the more, I don't remember this many mock drafts, you know, as far as just the pure number that we're exposed to, because
we could find them every single night. Here's the latest from this guy. Here's the latest from this guy. Like,
and I don't know what changes for them, or maybe they hear something and they change their mock draft, but I feel like CBS, they must have like 20 guys.
They got multiple guys who do mock drafts on CBS.
Yeah. And they're doing the entire draft.
Seven rounds, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a lot of work, but I just think, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see. Of course, I don't know. I typically don't go back and look to see how accurate they are, but, you know, if you don't hear from them afterwards, it means they didn't have a very good draft.
Yeah,
but if you do.
Everybody's guessing.
Yeah.
Everybody's guessing. I don't get mad or hold it. They don't know what they're talking about. You're guessing. We're guessing. We don't know what any of these teams are going to do. You feel like you know what you feel they should do, in your opinion, but they're working with a whole different set of facts.
Well, I went on with Bump and Stacy, and you know, they were asking me about it and everything, and I'm like, and I think you probably would have responded the same way. Like, the more we talk to John, the more I have no idea what he's going to do.
No clue.
You know, but
no clue what he's going to do.
But I liked this guy's mock draft, and the reason why is I raved about Leatu Latu on Friday, talking about how I think he's the most talented edge rusher in this draft, and they have him going to the Seahawks.
Yeah. Yeah. Ahead of Jared Verse, who a lot of people had in mock drafts going to the Seahawks, and even ahead of where they're picking. So,
yeah. And just the review, Verse is the guy I was talking about that got 31 reps at the combine. It shows up on the field, man. I watched him just entirely flat back a 330-pound offensive tackle. Now, he doesn't have to me, like I said, Latu is like a ghost. His pass rush moves are just, I think he's the best pass rusher in this entire draft. But I would love that. But it would also kind of keep in pace with, this would be like last year. Do we need edge rushers? Not really. I mean, you've got a couple of choices.
You might need them, but we don't go in saying that is a definitive hole.
Right. Well, and John will always tell you, you can't have enough pass rushers.
Right, right. Because we don't know what Taylor's going to provide. There's no assurance that, you know, Uchenna's going to be exactly the same. Maybe it's a slow build for him. I mean,
same thing with Derek Hall.
Yeah,
maybe
he's unproven. We have no idea.
Takes that jump. Yeah. So, and he was a second rounder, right? So we'll see if he, but it's sort of similar to what the corner situation was last year when they drafted Devin Witherspoon. So that's where I thought, I could see them doing that. And again, John says that you can't have enough of those guys. So, but I think if you look through this draft and just look who's ahead of them, they have Dallas Turner. I also profiled him on Friday. We talked about him, the kid from Alabama, and how he just moves around the field really efficiently. Like he just has an innate ability to understand like the right angle to take and how tight he should, you know, go around on a stunt and things like that. He doesn't think about it. He doesn't really, you can tell it's just second nature for him. They have him at number 8. So maybe teams think that he is more of a talented pass rusher, but man, I was looking at Latu. I think he's the best.
Yeah, we'll
I'd be happy.
Yeah, it's the variation in these mock drafts is what I love, is that somebody will have him going to the Seahawks at 16, and then you'll look at another one and he's being taken in the top 10. And then another one, he might be picked 21st. Or it's just, they're all over the map with all of these guys outside of the three quarterbacks at the top generally are all right there. But everything else seems to be in flux on all these mock drafts. And you wonder what the Seahawks will do. Like, we've talked about the idea that, okay, you got seven picks. Somewhere in there, they're going to take a linebacker, right? You just, I don't know which pick, but you got to believe they're going to take a linebacker with one of them. The other thing we talk about is they're going to take an O-lineman, a guard perhaps, somewhere in those seven picks. They keep saying they are piling up these one-year deals, and they just did it again. They signed veteran guard Laken Tomlinson to a one-year deal. Deal's worth up to $4 million. He's 32 years old. He was released by the Jets. So he's experienced. He's durable. He was a first-round pick by the Lions back in 2015.
Yeah.
But he's kind of one of those guys that's fitting in with what they've done with the linebacker. Everybody's a one-year deal.
One-year deal.
So I don't know if they're looking at them as they're going to occupy the spot for now, but we got to find our future at these spots in the draft.
Yeah, right. And then look, if a guy like Laken Tomlinson, which I looked at him this morning, by the way, I was just watching some of his film. I think he might have the best stance of any offensive lineman I've ever seen. He just looks so balanced. And when he comes out of his stance, he's incredible. He is incredibly durable. I think from what I can tell, he's missed one game. So, and he's 32 years old. So he's been in the league for a while.
And yeah, missed only one game in his career, 138 starts for three teams over nine seasons.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, and then you look at his power and, you know, there was he was doing some work against, you know, Aaron Donald, and this is when he was
Pro Bowler in 21.
Yeah, he's a really good player, really good player. So, yeah, I mean, that would be really interesting to see, you know, if they get the best out of him. Maybe they sign him for another couple of years and reward him, whatever. But, yeah, all these one-year deals, it's a prove-it thing, and it's a new coaching staff. I feel like it's the land of opportunity, basically. Because, number one, if you're a free agent, especially, you're thinking, okay, I got, you know, 32 teams to look at here. Where is it? I mean, you look at what the Seahawks have going on out there as far as their facility, and they'll have taken a trip and everything. It's where everybody wants to be. It really is. So, and then you got a new coach who is judging people fresh. I talk about all the time. When I went to Denver, I felt like it was a fresh start for me. That's what Laken Tomlinson is gonna experience, and it's a place you want to be. I just think there's a lot of question marks, but I do love the way that John has gone about this with signing these guys to one-year deals.
Yeah, and hopefully some of these guys pop, and I'm hoping at the end of the season we're going to feel like you got to lock this guy up. A couple of them, whether it's the linebackers, whether it's Tomlinson, whether everybody essentially has been a one-year signing. So I'm hoping some of them pop to the point where you get excited as a fan and feel like, man, he was great. They got to find a way to keep him around. So hopefully we're in that position.
Right.
By the way, do you ever watch Intentional Talk? They do a good job on that show.
We have our guy Ryan Dempster, right?
Yeah, it's a good show. They do good stuff there. All right, coming up, always a good way to start the week. We'll find out what's bugging Bob, Dave, Matt, Mike. We'll get into all of that. Coming up next, it's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
What's bugging Bob?
It could be traffic.
Hey.
It might be Angels fans.
I hate you. I don't even know you.
And it's definitely Stephen A. Smith.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
It's time to find out what's bugging Bob.
What's Bugging Bob, presented by Issaquah Pest Control. Coming up at 3 o'clock, Ryan Roland Smith will join us for his weekly conversation. Again, he'll bring some sunshine into the topic of the Seattle Mariners. But before that, let's air our grievances. Let's get it all out there. We always start with our champion, our gold medalist in grievances, Matt Nelson.
Hi there.
Hi, Matt.
Hi. Last week, after work, I'm leaving the parking lot, about to turn onto the main road, and I see a pedestrian that's about to cross the street. So I do this, which I consider to be the universal signal of walk in front of my car. I promise not to run you over.
Yeah.
Just a wave across, you know? Mm-hmm. And he smiles and waves at me as he's crossing the street. And I'm like, okay, that seems like an overreaction for what's happening. I'm literally just obeying the laws of the road and not running you over.
Choosing not to kill you, yes.
Yeah. And then after he crosses, he walks down the street and he tries to open my back door. He has mistaken me for his Uber. And I panic in that moment of like, thankfully the doors were locked, because what if he would have just gotten in? And I didn't have anything on my car that made it look like an Uber. Yeah. I had my annoying bumper stickers on the back. It was just a normal car. And it made me realize if my doors were unlocked, I could have abducted this man yes. without anyone noticing.
So
no fuss.
What was he? Was he like? Oh, it's,
yeah,
it's
he jiggled
locked.
It a couple times. And then I rolled my passenger side window down and I was like, I'm not an Uber, man. And he's like, oh. And then just walks away.
Oh, okay. I would have been embarrassed if I were him, man.
Yeah.
Usually looking for the license plate.
That's the thing. And I see a car that pulls up afterwards. It was a black Tesla, and it stopped, and it had the little Uber thing in the window. I don't drive a black Tesla. I just drive a Subaru. You got to be more observant with these things, people. You have to pay attention to who your Uber driver is.
Yeah. I'm not an Uber. I wouldn't even have drawn that conclusion. I would have been like, the hell are you doing?
Well, I thought about it because, like, he had his phone out, which, like, everyone does. But then when he smiled at me, I was like, okay, weird. And that kind of stuck with me. And then I kind of put two and two together of, oh, he's trying to get in my car. Gosh. This guy wasn't, I should say, this guy wasn't a robber. He was just a guy in a business suit with a phone. Like,
all right. He didn't feel threatened by his.
No.
All right.
But it was definitely startling.
What about you, Lefko?
I don't have much compared to that. Wow. That's a good one there. The one thing, and I think that people think I'm being serious here, so I'm over-exaggerating my frustration when it comes to food. But this is, in a weird way, a frustration of mine. It was bugging me yesterday. So, Dave, don't listen to this because you don't like this place. It's too healthy for you. But I went to Mighty O because most people think their donuts are good.
Love that place.
Love that place. And they had a carrot cake donut. It really? Was amazing.
Was there frosting on it?
Oh, yeah. Frosting and a little thing on top. The problem is, this is my frustration and what's bugging me, it's only a specialty seasonal one.
Oh, really?
If you're going to make something that good, why not have it the whole year? I walked out of there extremely annoyed that this would soon be disappearing. So that's my grievance.
So you couldn't just enjoy the damn donut?
I did, and then I realized, you know what? I wish they had this all year long. That's what was bugging
when
me.
When does it end? Did you get that?
It's a spring donut. They didn't give me an exact date.
I love Mighty O donuts. I think they are the lemon poppy seed one. Oh, man, those are good. Those are good. Dave thinks they're too healthy.
Bob, sounds like I'll bring some donuts in for you and me. None for Dave. So.
I'm surprised you don't like them because they don't taste healthy. They taste really good.
I don't know. They did to me, and I just think it's a weird move. Like, you want to... No, it's a healthy donut. No donut should be healthy.
Well, when I first tried them, I didn't know that. Somebody had brought them in years ago, and I had one. I'm like, these are amazing. And they go, yeah, and they're... What are they, vegan or something like that? Or I don't know what makes them healthier, but... I had no knowledge that they were healthy before I ate it. So it tasted like a regular donut, except really, really good.
I think it's a fool's errand to try to make a donut healthy.
It's a plant-based organic donut. And Dave just, he's out on that. You're not buying it.
Telling you, they nailed it. Whatever they've done to make them taste like a donut is thumbs up, man. You guys have crushed it. What about you, Dave?
I got nothing, really.
You got nothing, just the lawn.
Just the annoyance of having to take this huge 6 foot by 2 foot by 2 foot metal tub into our backyard, and then all the dirt that goes with it. And then, you know,
Does it look good?
I got like, it's off to the side, so you can't see it. But, you know, I had to haul all that crap into the backyard. I was like, I went down like on my knees, like I was.
You're winded.
Yeah.
Is she totally. Helping? Is she grabbed the other
no,
end?
No, she was trying to, and I'm like, no, no, I'll do it because, you know, she can't lift nearly as much as I can. So anyway, yeah, I was just like, but we had like this standoff at Home Depot. It was really weird.
It was like you were in Costco.
For 31 years.
It was like you were in Costco.
Yeah, yeah, and I was just like, no. I'm not doing it. She's like, yeah, we're doing it. And I'm like, no, I don't think it can fit in the car, first of all. And she's like, I'll go check and see. Yeah, so we had like this whole standoff, which I lost. So
I love that. And then, no, I'm not doing it. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
So, quick point of order.
Yeah.
Vegetables grown in dirt. The ground is made of dirt. Why do you need a tub to grow the vegetables?
That's what I said. Thank you. Yeah, I mean,
is there no room in the?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because her friend Sarah said this is how you do it.
It's all Sarah's fault.
So, yeah, there we go.
Hey, Sarah, why don't you just shut that big yapper? Just kidding. I'm sure she's wonderful.
We love Sarah. But yeah, I mean, I was just like, I really was like, gonna make a thing about it. But then I thought, you know, I'll probably be miserable for the rest of the day, and probably we're gonna get it anyway, or she'll have it delivered or something like that. So. All right, so I gave in finally, but I ended up paying for it later. chiropractic. I had to go put like a weight belt on to, you know.
Oh, for back lower back support?
To haul everything back there. But yeah. That was the only thing that bothered me.
I love that we had a standoff in Home Depot.
It was. It's like, yeah, get it. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I really don't. And I like turned away. I walked around a little bit and then I come back and she's still standing there like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't think we're doing this. I really don't. Yeah.
She's like, I think we are. You're just giving now or giving later. It's going to happen.
Oh, give me a break, 253. Pick what? Your battles, Dave.
Well, I think you do.
Yeah, I did. I picked one there. Yeah. Everything else, I pretty much just, yeah.
The funny part
surrender
is,
flag.
Isn't it usually Costco that brings out that in you guys? Didn't you say, like, every time you go to Costco, you guys bicker or something?
Yes, we do. Yeah, so that's right.
You just don't go to Costco now? And she,
well, this is the only time we've had a standoff at Home Depot. So
I just picture you two in the middle of the aisle, people walking around you, and you guys are, no, I'm not doing it. Yes, yes, you are.
And then the older gentleman, who was so knowledgeable and really cool, he just kept coming up to me and saying, yeah, and what you can do is drill some holes in the bottom of it, which I did. And then, you know, this and that. Like, he could almost see what was going on. And he was kind of giving me a look like, you're going to lose this one, my man.
Just go with it,
man. He's probably 20 years older than me. And I'm like, he's probably right. I'll just go with it.
He's trying to pacify you with it. Just, hey, it won't be that bad, man. All you got to do is do this. No problems. No problems. I love it. All right. There you go. What's Bugging Bob? Again, presented by Issaquah Pest Control. Coming up, a lot to discuss after another Mariners series loss. We'll talk to our guy, Ryan Roland Smith. He's going to join us next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.